So, have you written much lately, Mike?
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, we are? Good. I can contact Jesse.
I mean, I wrote down ideas for tonight.
I hate you, Mike.
I know you do. Well, I met an old man dying on a train. No more destination, no more pain. When he said one thing.
Justice Watson.
This is Bruce Hodges.
And this is Michelle Adams.
And this is...
Oh.
Jeez. Sorry. This used to be the break-ins.
This used to be the break-ins until our guest messed it up.
Welcome to Jim City Cast.
Did you see what we were doing there, Jesse? The way we were getting our names wrong?
I got that now, yeah.
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 You know why we did that?
Oh, uh-huh.
Because I couldn't type the, when I tagged Justin and something, I didn't type it right, right? Right?
That's right.
And my name's been wrong the last 3 years.
Right, well, yeah, it was, we thought you were Irish, I think that's
yeah.
what it was.
Yeah, and this year, I think it's Bruce Hug.
Really?
On the website?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. But
I should fire the guys in charge of it.
The Dayton City paper got Sean Forney's name right.
They got that wrong. They got Josh Metter's names wrong.
Yeah.
It was, in fairness to them, it was a phone interview that I did with them, and I should have offered to spell out the names or direct to the website where all the names were spelled correctly or not correctly, as it were.
I guess if you want to defend them, but at the same time, they're kind of journalists and they should do research.
Double check your facts.
Right. And I can understand not wanting to give me any editorial control because it would have been even more quotes for me, but I could have corrected that afterwards. But she did a good job. She, Katie, I think, she's a up and coming journalist. She works at the Clarion, does stuff at the Clarion and stuff for, the Dayton City paper.
Katie Lohr.
Yeah.
I read the article, so I mean, it worked.
I liked it well enough. There's just, you know, a few little things. There's some, like, Sean has only done stuff for Marvel tangentially and met his name wrong. That was kind of bothering considering, you know, he just passed away recently.
Yeah.
It's still a little sore on a few people.
Right.
Way to bring it down.
I guess it's better to be mentioned incorrectly than not mentioned at all.
Right. And imagine my partner Bill, who they completely cut him out of it 100%. They don't even mention him.
Was he on the phone interview, or you just mentioned him a lot?
No, he wasn't on the phone interview, but I mentioned him a couple times about, you know, it's a group effort. It's not something that I could do completely on my own, but I'm part of a team, Bill's on the team, and stuff like that, and that hit the cutting room floor.
It's easy to forget about Bill because you're just so damn pretty. People see you walking around, and they're like, oh, it's Jesse's convention. It's Jesse's convention.
Well, for the longest time, he handled most of the dealers, so a lot of the dealers didn't know me at all, as where I dealt more with the artists and guests and stuff like that, so they knew me, and they didn't know Bill.
If I may stop for a second.
Sure.
This is episode 45.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we don't really have an official start to this episode.
My friends call it season 4, yeah. Episode 5.
We just kind of broke into the break-ins. We'll be interviewing Jesse Noble.
We're 11 minutes in.
He is the man behind the Gem City Comic Con. And Jesse, hey.
Hey, let me know when we're recording.
We've been recording since the beginning.
Always recording. Yeah. Always recording.
We're always recording, right. Yeah.
Hey, that's a good way to start the whole thing. I'm kind of like,
it's a cold open.
Yeah.
That's right.
We didn't even know we were doing it.
That's how cold it is.
Yeah, so episode 45. Wow. And so this is our first time we had Jesse on.
Yeah.
I think we've interviewed the guy behind San Diego Comic Con.
Now, this is...
first.
Yeah, This is the ninth year of Gym City.
Eight. Yeah.
I thought they said you've been doing it for 9 years.
Well, like I said, there was some fact checking needed to be done.
Oh, Jesus. There, now I look like an idiot for trusting the facts of somebody who didn't check their own facts.
This is how I work for Fox 45, Bruce.
Hey, don't bash where the check comes from.
I'm not.
So, Jesse, would you like to tell us a little bit about this show?
the show
and everything.
The history?
Yeah, maybe the history and the guests this year, things like that.
Now, this was founded by your great-great-great-grandfather.
That's what it said in the paper.
With some sort of mineral trading show.
Jeremiah Noble.
That's what it started off as, and it then evolved into, like, dirty pictures where they traded those after World War II.
Okay.
And then now it's become comics.
So it's yeah. Dirty pictures, right?
Exactly.
It's the new sleaze.
That's right.
So this is the eighth year.
Yeah, this is our eighth year putting this thing on. And this year's been, I don't mean to complain, but this year's been really tough. Just the move to the Nutter Center, we've moved into a larger venue. And I thought it would be a lot easier, but it turned out I had a lot more people wanting to get space at the last minute, and I tried to cram in as many people as I could, but there's still a lot of people unhappy.
Now, are they going to open up the floor? We're going to be on the ice?
We're going to be on the ice. It was extra for the polar floor, so everyone's going to have to have skates. Yeah.
Totally worth it. So have you had to turn people away?
Oh, yeah. More so than last year, and more so than other years, I've gotten a lot of hate mail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think that's a good and bad thing. I mean, it shows, like, so well that a lot of people want to be part of it.
Yeah, that just seems like it makes it rough for him. I mean, one, you don't want to turn away a creator, and two, you don't want to turn away money.
Okay.
Right. Well, I mean, the money's secondary at this point, because if I really were to figure out what I really made on it is I'm deep in the hole.
Still after 8 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you count up your hours and stuff like that, I mean, it's a little bump at the end of the show on Sunday, but, you know, you're figuring your hours, and I'm not making minimum wage, so it's like you're having a Walmart job.
Wow.
Or working for Fox 45. I mean,
and ABC 22, I got a pull double shift.
That's right.
Well, yeah, I'll make sure to bring you, like, a nice red vest so that you feel more Walmart-like.
That would be greeting people. Oh. That's who has red vests? Is that Target?
No, that's Kmart. They have red vests.
Nice.
Really? Why do you know this, Mike?
Because I worked at Kmart, like, years ago.
Well, he's done some research.
Yeah, I checked my facts before he started rambling off here, okay?
I'm just giving vests to people.
Yeah. Whenever you're ready to start recording, let me know.
Okay, any second now. We just want to get these preliminary questions out of the way.
All right.
I'm sorry, Bruce, go ahead.
Nope, I talk enough, Mike.
The funny thing is, Jesse, is that I've known Bill for, like, the past 5 years, actually, because I used to go to Fearless for a while. So this is actually my first time meeting you. So where everybody thought you were the one who's always doing it, I've always thought it was Bill's show. So, like, you are just now coming into the fold for me, you know. So what's it like working with Bill, and how does he help you out with everything?
Initially, Bill was the entire contact I had for all the dealers. Bill had been doing, you know, comics for close to 15 years when I met him. And filling in the dealer list, which is usually the hard part of a show, because you can attract, you know, guests and artists with money and free tables and, you know, cheap tables. But the dealers are the ones that, you know, come from Pittsburgh, Detroit, you know, South Carolina. They're hard to attract to a little one-day show in Dayton, but it was Bill's had been traveling the circuit for years, and they came on his recommendation. Hey, I'm putting on a show. Come do it. Don't be a jerk. Just come do this stupid show. And they came, and they're the ones that filled up the room, and it was because of Bill's reputation working with them. Now he's become more of an entertainment director. Once the guests land in Dayton, he wines them, dines them, and keeps them happy. Because at the end of Friday, I'm already ready to go to bed. I don't want to come back Saturday. I don't want to come back Sunday. I'm beat. But so he takes care of most of the after-hour stuff, makes sure that they're fed, and keeps, you know, massages the dealers too. If someone's complaining about their table space is too small, or this guy's creeping in on my space, you know, they're sometimes they're childish like that.
Right.
He usually massages them and makes them feel good.
He's got a good way with people. I mean, he just knows how to talk to people, so that's...
Oh, yeah, he's incredibly relatable. I mean, he's, that's why it's good to have a partner.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Everything I've ever looked for over in the dealer section, I've been more fine, so you have a pretty wide variety of dealers. Well, they seem to have a little bit of everything.
And, you know, not to say that I put a lot of thought into it, but it's by design. We understand that there's a lot of competition for Silver Age books, for new books, people will bring trades and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we've traveled enough to know who does it best. And we try to make it them come to the show or offer them to come to the show because they can represent the industry better and they have the best stuff. Like if we want to have toys and trades, Warp 9 Comics from Detroit, they need to come down. Golden Age, and in Silver Age, John Haynes from up in Mender, Ohio, or Mike Goldman from Motor City Comics up in Detroit, they're the tops.
Everyone specializes in something.
Right, and I've been to shows where everybody has the same thing. And what ends up happening is everyone just starts cutting everyone's up throat.
Right.
I mean, not really, but I mean, there's, you know, I've gone to shows where people have brought new overstock. Stuff that started off at the show at half cover end up being 50 cents a piece or a quarter a piece just to cut because everyone has the same thing.
Yeah,
you need to get home. So we try to vary the room to where it's competitive for the attendee, but the dealers aren't fighting over the same dollar.
Now, do you do the same type of thinking when it comes to the artist area?
Yes and no. As you may know, I comp a lot of the tables. I mean, Justin said a really nice thing to me once that it was, that at Gem City we know who the stars are. You know, who the real import is. And for me, one of the things that I wanted to do at Gem City was to make it a really artist friendly, creator friendly environment. And, in that respect, I think that the wider net that you throw, the better it is.
Yeah.
Even if people are working in the same genre, maybe they can feed off each other, collaborate some way or another, just to see what other people are doing. And I think that there's enough interest in all kinds of different things from the creator standpoint where there's not a lot of overlap. There, you know, some people are doing superhero stuff, people are doing noir stuff, people are doing just all kinds of different things. So I'm not so worried about that, but I try to keep quality in it. I mean, there's, one artist put it to me that that it's good to see so many not amateurs but hobbyists being able to afford to come to a show and get inspired or work on things together or make their work better. And that's something that I think we've been able to do in Dayton. Provide lots of access.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gem City was the first convention I ever went to and tried to sell anything.
Me too. Now, I've been around a little bit, but it was it's been really interesting to watch, like, the creators see them bring back their new stuff every year and see them get better and better and refine their sales pitch. The first couple of years, there was a person there that was just, they would set up their mini comics and they were very, very shy. When someone came over to look at it, they'd almost walk away to another table. They were intimidated.
Yeah.
And to see them come out of their shell and now, you know, he puts up his banner and it's been interesting to watch. I'll just say that the whole end of it. But to answer your original question, do I put a lot of thought in it? I put no thought in anything. It just, if it's good, it just happened that way. You know, it's just the lucky guy that was there. Or the unlucky, as it turns out.
Keep it organic.
Right.
What is the capacity for the Nutter Center versus the Student Union?
It's, well,
I mean, what, was that a big issue, letting more people in, or did you make this decision so that you could have more attractions for people?
Definitely for more attractions. The student union is a great facility. It's got great staff, and I'm happy that we left because we just outgrew it.
Yeah.
When we made the jump to 2-day, the biggest complaint that I got was there wasn't 2 days worth of stuff to do. They needed to have more programming, more things to do. And I didn't have space for it. That was the main driving factor, is that to have people feel like they got their money's worth, they need enough time, or that there was nothing to do for 2 days. That's what they wanted to feel like. And I was out of the space to do it. I couldn't have a costume contest. I couldn't have the things that we're looking at adding for next year. This ran out of time this year, but like a quick draw panel.
Yeah.
Set up a video camera and a video screen to where you could have a camera over a guest's shoulder and watch them, you know, whip out a drawing. I think it'd be really cool this year, like to have a camera. We won't be able to do it, but have a camera over Santa Kai and have them be able to watch and draw Usagi, or, you know, over Shaken's shoulder or over someone's shoulder to watch them do their signature character.
Yeah.
That'd be really interesting. And that's something I don't think I could have done in the student union, but now I have that opportunity. Not this year, but there's just more opportunities. As far as space goes, the arena floor is about, it's about 5,000 square feet bigger than all the space we were in last year.
Wow.
Which ultimately it's like the gaming area. We have like the gaming area that we used to have. We've added that much room back into it. So, and it's all under one roof rather than being split up. But as far as capacity, I'm not for sure. I really don't know.
Well, the parking lot's bigger, if nothing else.
The parking lot's a lot bigger. And there's going to be there's two other events going on there that day. There's a wrestling tournament maybe a kickline tournament or some gymnastics tournament going on in the Quinn Gym at the same time. So parking is going to be, shouldn't be a problem, but it might be a problem.
Yeah.
Getting close.
Well, you might get some spillover too from the gymnasts. I think it's, well, no, seriously, a year before last when Justin were down in Cincinnati.
A tech convention.
What was that?
There's like a techie convention.
Well, it was a pharmacist, sir. No, not pharmacist, like CSI tanks. Okay. The one girl came up to us and started talking about blood spatter.
Nice.
So I know he got some spillover there. So I don't know. I don't think anyone's going to complain if
they're
running around.
They may kick your ass, but you know.
Yeah.
12-year-olds
are rough.
What we're going to do is we're going to take a small break and then come back and talk a little bit more about the guests and some of the other events that are going to happen at the Gem City Comic Con this year.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Howard Chaykin, Stan Sakai, and Joe Staten.
Howard Chaykin, Stan Sakai, and Joe Staten, who?
Howard Chaykin, Stan Sakai, and Joe Staten, who will be at the Gem City Comic Con with many more great guests on March 23rd and 24th, now at the Nutter Center.
It's no joke, the Gem City Comic Con is the best show in the Midwest, yo.
GemCityComicCon.com.
Hey, we're back for part two of our interview with Jesse Noble, the man with the plan, the Wizard of Oz, the guru of the Gem City Comic Con.
The co-guru.
Yeah, co-guru.
Don't leave Bill out.
Who?
Bill.
I'm kidding.
He's the director of entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't had my Red Robin bill picked up yet. Whatever.
Every year, too.
That's right. Jesse, we'll be able to talk about a few things. Can you tell us a little bit about the stars of the Gem City Comic Con this year? Maybe some of the guests?
Some of the guests we have, we were able to get in touch with Howard Chaykin. He's one of the things running the show is I'm able to fanboy out a little bit and offer invitations to guests who I'm fans of. And Howard Chaykin was at the top of my list this year. And he was, oddly enough, this when I emailed him, he's just like, yeah, sure.
Wow.
Okay. Because usually, earlier on this, after that, this year, I got, like, really bad, nasty rejection letters, or no, they weren't just nasty, but it was more like Dayton's too small, or I don't want to take the 3-hour drive. That kind of thing. Just
yeah.
I was feeling pretty down, but then he was just like, yeah, let's do that.
Well, where's he out of?
California. He's flying out of LAX.
Oh, so. Is he allowed to cross state lines with Black Kiss or whatever his book is?
He has to be escorted. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make a assumption of the fact that book was like banned in was it Europe or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh wow.
It's just me and you, Jesse. We're the only ones who know what we're talking about.
Yeah, Black Kiss is this is an R-rated podcast, but Black Kiss is pretty graphic, interesting nonetheless. But the volume 2 of it was banned in Europe. I'm not specifically sure why. I don't think it was the content, the graphicness of it, but maybe more of the somebody said there was some Nazi symbolism in it that didn't sit too well in some countries, but. And I haven't seen all of volume 2. I've only looked at one or two books. But, so I'm not for sure what exactly happened. He'd be better to ask. But other guests that we've got is, Stan Sakai, who's another person who I was having a really bad day when out of the blue, he emailed me he responded to an email invite from last year, from the year before. And he said, is this show still going on? Is it, you know, is my invitation still open? I was like, wow, yes, it is.
Wow, a godsend. I mean, what are the chances he's that horrible at checking his email? Where would they give a year?
Well, I contacted him on Facebook, which I'm now giving away all my secrets, but...
hang on, you use something called the Facebook?
Yeah.
Make a note.
Yeah.
Facebook.
No, but I was... he had said, I can't make it this year, maybe next year, and then I forgot about it, because usually that's the blow-off, is maybe another time.
Yeah.
But he got back with me, and I was like, yeah. And he's another one that's coming from LA too. So they're flying. I hate asking West Coast guests to come to the show because I can imagine my wife lived on the West Coast. And whenever I went out to see her before we were married, it screwed me up for a week. Trying to get my time back. And yeah, it was just awful, but they're real troopers and I appreciate all the work that they do. But Stan Sakai, I'm really happy to have him. Usagi Jimbo's been going on forever, and he's got a book out. The name of it just escaped me. But he's Ronin, 47 Ronin?
47 Ronin, yeah.
Yeah, and it's gotten a lot of really good reviews, and it's still in the same genre, but it's not furries, if that's what it is. But it looks really interesting.
He is such a consistent artist. I mean, you can look back over his work years and years, and you can always tell it's him.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't say that about a lot of artists. A lot of art, you know, their art will drift one way or another, or they'll wear their influences on their sleeve. But it's people like him and, you know, a couple other guys like Sprouse and Eric Larson who just, they're consistent. You know, work from 20 years ago, you can still tell, yep, that's them.
Yep. He's definitely one of them. And then some people that are coming from not as far away. Tim Seeley will be there. Of course, he's Hackslash.
Yeah. That's number one, didn't it?
I believe it did, or if it was listed, I can't remember. It's another book I need to read.
Revival going on. That's a pretty big deal right now. I think that was either optioned by ABC or ABC was courting them.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic for him. But he's coming from Chicago. Something that I've gotten a lot of flack on from the old emails is that Mark Waid is coming back to the show.
Wow, good.
But he's participating in the Cape and Learning with Pictures panels.
Okay.
He's there with Christy. And so he's participating up there, and he's not an official guest of the show because I didn't want to tax him too much. He did such a great job last year. And I know he's coming in support of the Cape and Learning with Pictures panels. And I didn't want to, you know, put pressure on him to say, hey, you need to sit here for 8 hours or 6 hours. So I just kind of let that slide. And when people started looking at the panel list and saw that he had a panel, I got all kinds of emails about, is this a mistake or why aren't you plugging this? And I'm sorry. I make mistakes. I mean, this is all trial and error, really.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool, actually. But
Well, and as soon as I saw the your ad from the last Dayton City paper, I saw the Thrill Bent. I think it's the Thrill Bent logo down in the corner. I thought, is Wade back? But then I looked through. I just went to your website and did a just find on some pages and saw he was going to be part of that panel. Yeah, I know he's really invested in that. He's passionate about the next generation of comic book readers. So
it's odd because this show falls after. Where was he at? He was in Emerald. He was in Seattle. And I guess there, one of the panels there, he not enraged, but, you know, said that, you know, that you should share the free download codes with people.
Yeah.
You know, and talked about digital comics moving away from, as the next generation, and it made a lot of retailers mad. And one of the most vocal retailers that I know about that is Dennis from up at Wonderworld Comics in Detroit. And I guess last year they got Dennis accosted Mark in the parking lot
wow.
of the Dayton show about some of the stuff that he had said last year.
So is Dennis going to be at Gem City this year?
Yeah, he comes with Tony Maiello.
Okay, so are you going to sell tickets? The two of them will rumble in the parking lot?
Well, I've offered to... I've offered to give them a space where they can work out their differences.
Is that the wrestling show? That's another area down
there. Yeah. Right, that's where the wrestling mats are. No, but Dennis is pretty passionate about it, and so is Mark. So I wouldn't mind seeing that conversation come about. But
right.
But that, let's see, who else is coming this year?
Joe Staton.
Oh gosh, yeah. How could it just slipped my mind. Joe's amazing. He's worked on the first piece of art I ever bought, production art. It as it turned out, I bought it. It was Scooby-Doo. It was for my wife. She loves Scooby-Doo, and I bought it from Dan Davis. And he at the time he was inking Joe Staton. And about a month ago, I happened to be looking at the piece, and I noticed that this is Joe Staton. It says it right on. I'm looking forward to getting. I've got a couple Hunters items that I want to have signed, and he's been worked on stuff for so long. He's just a real journeyman of an artist and creator. So I'm real excited that he's coming.
He was the guy I was really excited to see on your list because I'm a huge Green Lantern fan, and a lot of people are like, oh, Neil Adams is the Green Lantern guy, blah, blah, blah. But Joe Staton was such a staple for Green Lantern for so long, and he's a workhorse too, and I think his stuff's great.
Yeah, and he's been, his style has evolved a little bit. Is referring to what we were talking about before, but he's consistent. He's always put out good pages. He's fast and he's a workhorse. He's always working, So I'm glad that he was able to come. It sounds like you have a list of guests. I'm running blank here.
You also have Daryl Banks.
Yeah. Another Green Lantern guy. He's appearing at Bill's Books and More. He's going to be at their table. They sponsored his appearance.
I am not reading off the list, by the way.
No, Jason just memorizes it.
Yeah.
I remember Daryl Banks. I was going to be there. He gave me my first portfolio review ever right out of art school.
Wow.
It was unkind.
I'm breaking out the violin right now.
We've talked about that so many times.
Kyle Rayner's mask. Explain that before you critique anyone else.
It was the 90s. You could do whatever you wanted to in the 90s.
No excuse.
Yeah, there's too many panels on this page.
Yeah, that's my weakness. My kryptonite is storytelling. Oh, no. talk a little about the Hero Initiative here. I understand there's something very specific to Dayton involving the Hero Initiative.
In that it's...
I believe Sean Forney said something out that's not part of the Hero Initiative, and the Hero Initiative is going to be represented at Jim City.com.
Well, Sean's out of Columbus, but nothing to pick.
Oh, yeah, I apologize.
No, but are you writing for the Dayton paper?
we put together, we have a charity auction. In the first couple years, it was a silent auction, and it was to random charities that sort of said, hey, we could use some money. And we didn't raise a lot of money because it didn't have a real purpose and it didn't have an import. It didn't feel like it gelled with the overall mission of like advancing comics and reading. And about that time, Sean introduced me, Sean Forney introduced me to Josh Metters at Mid-Ohio. And Josh was at the time battling cancer. And Sean said that the Hero Initiative helped him out with just, you know, showed up with a bag of cash and said, here, this is for bills, for groceries, for whatever you need.
That is awesome.
And I said, well, that's who we're going to raise money for, you know, we'll do our little part for it. And at the time, I think Gene Colan was working with them, you know, with some of the help that he needed. They were working with him and they'd helped a number of other creators. So we set up the auction to benefit the Hero Initiative. And out of that auction and out of, Josh's needs as they continue, Sean Forney, Josh's wife, Charlotte, and Stephanie Forney formed the Help for Heroes, which is an offshoot of the Hero Initiative, specifically at the time set up to benefit, aid in Josh's, fight with cancer. And and Sean has been working with that ever since. This past couple months ago, Josh passed away, and he and they're continuing with their mission. Help for Heroes is still helping creators who are battling cancer. That's their focus, is helping people battling with cancer.
It's good to see things like that continue on.
Yeah.
You know, it's something good for Josh's family to look back on and say, this is a contribution he made to society that will continue now. Whenever anyone thinks of that charity, they'll always think of him.
Right, absolutely. I didn't think this was going to happen, but you guys made me tear up a little bit.
I blame Justin. He's cutting onions.
Oh, man.
You got to balance it, the humor and the talent. All right.
No, but this year is no different. Our charity auction is going to have lots of great pieces in it. The Hembeck poster art is going to be the big item this year.
I did not expect that. I saw that posted online, and that surprised me and made me chuckle.
Well, I love Fred Hembeck. Not the first book that I read, but one of the first books that I remember seeing going, wow, that's awesome, was he did a Marvel roast book. And it was in retrospect now, it was really funny and a little bit bawdy for the times, but I love his style. I love the squiggles on the elbows and knees.
Yeah.
I contacted him again through a online social networking site.
MySpace, huh? Okay.
Right, MySpace. It was actually Friendster, but,
LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You're using IRC as those. It's weird. And people
but,
don't really use that.
But I had invited him to the show, and I guess he lives in upstate New York. He said it's like 3 hours to the nearest airport, and said, well, maybe another year. And he's like, I doubt it. Well, let me get a commission from you. So I commissioned the art, and Sean Forney colored it for us. And I've got the black and white, the inks right here. So we're going to throw that in our auction, along with a lot of other cool stuff. I've kind of been remiss in adding that to the website as it comes in, but there's always more to come. It's always a great auction, and that's going to benefit all the money. Every last time that we raise is going to go to the Hero Initiative. One thing that I make sure that I tell people that I do is that what I don't do is I don't take any of the money that it costs for the room or to buy the items for the auction. That comes all out of the convention. I don't take profits, but cover expenses out of the money we raise for the Hero Initiative. So when you buy something for a dollar at the auction, a dollar of it goes 100% goes back to the charity.
Now, is this going to be a silent auction?
No, this is the live auction. I think the time starts at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and it's hosted by Bill Gladman and Frank Rainer. And they're fun guys. They keep it real lively. Frank's a really funny guy, and he's been able to get people to dig a little bit deeper into their pocket to get some of the items that we've had.
So he's from up in Springfield, right?
Right, Rainer? They run out of Springfield. But yeah, I've only actually seen the auction in videotapes. Like, Richard Ketterjohn, I see the videos of, because usually I'm too busy, but last year was the first time I got to sit in part of it, and it was a lot of fun. I almost wanted to buy back some of my stuff, but, but I didn't.
Real quick, can you tell us about the costume contest?
One of the added features this year that we've wanted to add, but we're dead on space, where we've added a costume contest. Registration starts at 1 on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is the adult costume contest, and then Sunday is for children. I don't have prizes yet, but they're going to be nice prizes. They're not just going to be, you know, tickets to next year's show, and here's a Nomad one, you know.
Yeah. Ooh, Nomad.
Yeah.
Nomad 2099.
they're going to be useful. Probably gift cards. My favorite gift card to get is Kroger's or, you know, groceries. Those are just awesome. But
Meyer.
So some kid's going to get a grocery card. No, but, I have no idea what they're going to be. But, we have a guest judge and a guest cosplayer, actress, model, designer, and she's going to be judging and helping put everybody through their paces and leading the parade, as it were. Her name's Phoenix Kasai. I don't know. It's on the website. I know her as Tiffany. So I'm not sure what her professional name, but it's she's on the website. In fact, she's featured in the article in the Dayton City paper. She's dressed up as Rogue. Yeah.
Yeah. She's on the second page.
I'm looking at her right now.
I've always been surprised not only by the amount of cosplayers, but by the quality.
At our show, especially, I never offered them anything except for free entrance. If you came dressed up, you walked right in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you can't come as, you know, I'm dressed up as Justin now. Right. You got to put a little bit of thought into it, but yeah, they've really gone all out. Last year, Joker and Harley Quinn were there. There was a Black Canary. And then the 501st Stormtrooper division.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
They have the largest Darth Vader I've ever seen.
Oh, and have you seen him when he did his Chewbacca?
No, but he's easily over 7.5 feet tall.
Yeah, and he's got a fantastic Chewbacca outfit that I saw it in Mid-Ohio, and I thought it was a statue. And then it started moving around. It's like, wow, that's awesome. That's a great statue.
I think last year there was a guy, he was supposed to be a Superman, but he looked more like Bizarro.
Right.
You run into a lot of that.
There's a lot of conventions, you run into people that dress up as somebody they probably shouldn't. Not at our show, but there. I was in Detroit, and there was a Black Canary that had no business wearing this stocking.
Oh. Yeah. Those are rough costumes.
Yeah, those were totally not his size. But, there's lots of weirdo.
I used to listen to a lot of the podcasts from San Diego Con, and there was a guy that they kept talking about in a bunch of the podcasts who would go all the different, like, skits go to all the big table talks and everything, and he dressed up as George Reeves Superman, but he was in black and white, and everybody thought he was Black Lantern Superman for the longest time, and I was like, no, it's George Reeves. But it's really weird because you could recognize his voice. And the year before, he came as Black Lantern. Who's the guy who used to do the ad scene on TV stuff all the time? Billy, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the big beard?
Yeah, he died like 6 months before the con, and he went as Black Lantern Billy or whatever. I was like, well, this guy, yeah, he's made a name for himself.
I can't remember his last name. He did OxyClean commercials.
Billy Bane or Blaine or
no, he's Billy Banks. That's the boxer or Tybo guy.
Right.
Billy West.
No, Futurama.
Billy Cosby.
Adam.
Billy Cosby. Mr. Rocketeer.
No. Billy Cosby, the Irish guy from Blue Knight.
Oh, who's the Rocketeer?
Bill Con.
Billy Campbell?
Billy Campbell, yeah.
It's Billy Campbell from the Rock Studio. It was Jennifer Connelly, so if Billy Campbell and Jennifer Connelly.
Well, that's how do we go, everybody?
Hey, whenever you're ready to start recording, just let me know.
Oh, don't. Take any second now. We're gonna take a small break, and we're gonna come back, and we're gonna say our farewell.
All right,
but okay. So we'll be right back.
Yet again, I'm not gonna stop recording.
We're not stopping yet.
Because Bruce is afraid.
That went a little bit longer than 15 minutes, but that's all right. It was for good reason.
What happens when you visit the most attractive website on the planet? You get Pritchlapped. Pritchlapped.com. The online home of attractive game comic artist Chris Pritchard. It's attractive.
Why, thank you.
Hey, we're back with the final little segment here.
Segment 3!
I do want to point out before we begin that it doesn't mention me, but my artwork is shown in this Dayton paper.
I thought you knew that.
I did not know. It's a complete surprise to me. I'm looking at Dayton paper.
I'm trying to talk to Jesse, and he's over there just pointing at
this. I'm going to promote my artwork here. And Jesse, did you know my artwork's in this Dayton paper?
It's in a photo, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't know that. Well, I'm happy. Okay.
Did you get credit, though? I mean, they were supposed to fact check it. They did really well.
They credited Dustin Watson of what Carol said.
Do they proofread the paper over in, like, Iraq or something?
Beepers.
The beepers. the beepers are checking the paper is what happened.
Paper peppers. Well, that's about 50 seconds. So...
let me know when we're recording.
We'll begin any second.
We're almost ready.
Here we go.
So, okay, what do we do here? Oh, yeah, what did you like to talk about? Anything else you'd like to talk about? Before we say our goodbyes?
Recap is worth.
Yeah, recap.
Bullet points.
Yeah.
All right, Gem City Comic Con, March 23rd and 24th. 23rd, it runs from early admission, starts at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., general doors from 10 to 5 on Saturday. General admission is $10, but there's all kinds of ways you can get a discount. If you're a military, EMT, first responder, student, show your ID card, get $2 off. I haven't put it on the website yet, but I have a thing. If you print out the program or download it to your mobile device, you get $2 off the ticket price.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else is there? I lost my bullet point.
Date, time, direction.
Yeah, we're at the Nutter Center this year. I don't know how to tell them to get there from wherever they're at.
The top of exit 17, 675.
And go to the left. Yep. So depending on which way you're coming from.
Or to the right, right, depending on if you're coming from south and north.
Follow all the gymnasts.
Yes.
Go away from the mall.
It's a big center.
Yeah.
And definitely go around to gate 9. That's the bottom entrance. It's around the back of it. Come in gate 9.
Gate no.
Because you're not getting into any other gates. They're all closed off.
That's good to know.
Yeah. And then, did I mention Sunday? Sunday is our, we close at 4. It runs from 10 to 4. With early admission and all that good stuff. And all that information is at our website, www.gemcitycomiccon.com. And then Facebook is Gem City Comic Con, and Twitter is Gem City Jess, which I regret making that my Twitter handle. But
you can change it, can't you?
You can, but I'm just lazy. And plus, all my letterhead says it now, so.
Okay. Oh, all your letterhead.
I really want to wish you the best of luck this year. Jesse, everyone. So
it's going to go exceptionally well. The last 7 have gone exceptionally well.
This is the year of the this is the one where the wheels have come off.
I'm saying because I'm going to be there. So
Justin's
not going to be there. So I'm wishing you guys the best.
This could be the one where Wizard sweeps in, and they're like, hey, here's...
We noticed you didn't have Justin this year. Yeah. That's what's going to hold you back.
Right, yeah, if Wizard calls me, just I have no problem with selling it and going away.
Darn you, sir!
No, it would have to be a lot, though. So. no problems there.
They would make all that back by charging $600 per table for artists.
Right? Is that what they're charging them?
Oh, I have no idea. It was three something in Mid Ohio.
I heard they moved up prices like $1,300 per Columbus. for artists. And that might have been a rumor. I heard it from somebody that was a little bit bitter about Wizard anyway.
Yeah, what was it? There's a good friend of ours we've had on the show. I want you to mention it by name, because I don't know if he was supposed to tell us this information. So 2 years ago, table was supposed to be $400 and some, but he complained and then got it for free.
I don't know.
When they first made the jump over to the other venue, I know that there's a lot of deals that happen like that. And if you know Tony Barry out at Superfly, he feels really good if he gets an opportunity to go on a Wizard rant.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I know him and Jared.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm good friends with those guys out there, and they that first year Mid Ohio picked up Wizard. It was brutal.
Yeah.
It's quickly becoming a monopoly, which is bad when it comes to any industry.
Oh, yeah.
You can't just have one person dictating the prices. I mean, that's
right.
A horrible idea.
There's not to screw up our ending, but there's a conversation in the ether about Comic Cons versus Omni Cons and Comic Forward shows versus Wrestler Forward shows and that sort of thing. And I'm happy that we have a Comic Forward show, and I actually put a thing on Facebook earlier this year about what I think about Omnicons versus Comic Cons. It's not really informative, and don't read it.
No, I hunt it down now.
Yeah, I mean, if you've listened to any of these episodes, you've heard me, Mike, and Justin complain about, you know, we don't want to sit next to the Pink Ranger, and we think it's ridiculous that Lou Ferrigno's still asking for $20 for a headshot.
Right.
Yeah, that stuff, it just drives me crazy. Who was it? Lexington. We went to Louisville, Derby City, had a great, one of the most amazing experiences I ever had at a convention there. And the people from Lexington kept hounding me, you know, with emails and all this. And I was getting ready to buy, and then they announced a original cast Power Rangers reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I wouldn't feel good about myself.
Right. There is a place for those shows, but I don't want Gem City to be that unless the money's really good.
Everybody does have a price, unfortunately.
I definitely do, and it's exceedingly cheap, as it turns out. But
at least you're honest about it. You won't try to buy it.
That's what I said to an artist, Stuart Sager. I was in Indiana, and we were talking, and he said, "Would you ever sell your stuff out to Wizard?" And without a beat, I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Wow, that's pretty honest. If you said no, I would have doubted you." I was like, "No, everybody's got a prize." But no, I'm happy that it is the way it is now, that we're Comic Forward and that's the way it's going to be.
Locally owned and operated, the 23rd and the 24th. Another center. $10.
March 23rd.
Unless you're special.
I'm very excited for the show. I won't be that excited, but I'm very excited for you guys. And,
Kate and I.
And I look forward to next year's over-the-shoulder camera.
Yeah.
I will gladly participate in that.
I really want that to happen. I love that. I think that'll be a good thing. But anyway, that'll be next year's interview.
Yeah.
Okay. So
wow. Cool.
Gem City. Right. You can find more about Justin on Facebook.
At facebook.com/JustinWasson.
Now, you shut down your official website.
Yeah, I hated that.
I miss it.
It's gone.
I miss it.
How do you get rid of I have two fan pages that I want to get rid of, and I can't get rid of them.
You're talking about on Facebook?
Yeah.
You have to go through Facebook Legal, and you have to prove ownership over it. We in my day job, we have issues like that all the time.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
Yeah.
All right. And Bruce, BruceOHughes.com with us.
Probably where you're listening to this.
Yeah. And Mike at iHeartPetty.
Is that...
It's just Michael Timothy Adams, II, on Facebook, and then Michael T. Adams. I think what is it on Twitter? I don't know. Is it II? Maybe.
I don't know.
We have a break-in Twitter, too.
Yeah. I'm pointless. I'm just here for fun.
Bruce will be at his table at Gem City. Mike will be selling my wares.
C8 or C9 or something?
I don't know. Mike will be selling my wares at...
Yes.
Hopefully right next to Bruce, because if not, I'm
sure. It is.
if you come to our table and you mentioned that you've listened to the podcast, you'll get at least one hug from us and probably something free.
Yeah.
Like, am I
calling? Yeah, approved that you listen to it, not just I listen to it.
Like, yeah. You have to say the word, Ruxpin.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
I see where you're going with this. Nice.
There you go. Ruxpin. Anyone that says Ruxpin to me can have an item of clothing.
Wow. No, let's
you know I have access to a PA there.
Okay, maybe
I can make that embarrassing.
Bruce is showing up in 19 layers of clothes.
Okay. I'll be the bear, the sexy bear.
Oh. Yeah, the bear lovers might come out looking for you then.
Totally fine. They pay.
There is a wrestling event next door. I don't know what kind of wrestling it is, but.
All right, on that note.
Okay.
We must end this show.
GymCityComicCon.com.
Yes, love it. Fantastic website, fantastic show, fantastic